So, like I said, we're going to begin with Saul, which we begin in Acts chapter 7, verse 59. We're going to be going through a lot of scriptures, but this is the great testimony of an individual who, like a person we just talked about, got delivered. And as a sower, we talked, Melania gave a teaching on the sower and the seed, and this last sower had a hundredfold of producing it. So Yahweh always wants fruit from us. It's just not to accept life, age, or body. He wants us to bear fruit. Now, very simply, and as any gardener would want to, you don't want a plant that looks green, and that looks really nice, but
do something.
Produce something. Mm-hmm. And produce something. Just don't sit there and take the sun and not... And like many times what they would do that with the tree, the fig tree, they would say, cut it down. You know why? Because it's not producing fruit. So Acts chapter 7, page 127. We'll start off with Saul, and that's his real name, which has the word L in it, E-L. So it's two syllables instead of Saul.
So don't be a neutered plant.
Yeah. So we're going to see the context of Saul that Yahweh first picks him up, 759. And they stoned Stephen as he was invoking and saying, Lord Yahushua, give welcome unto my spirit. And kneeling down, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them or charge against them this sin. And having said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was taking pleasure with them in his death. Isn't that just a terrible thing? You know, it's not, he was there, he was taking pleasure. Moreover, there arose in that day a great persecution against the assembly which was in Jerusalem. All were scattered abroad throughout the countries of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Howbeit, reverent men assisted at the burial of Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul went on to lay waste the assembly along the houses, going in and dragging off both men and women, was delivering them up into prison. So this guy is really in action.
Valiant.
Was he religious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Was he thinking he was doing Yahweh service? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He thought he was going to get some good grace. He thought he was producing fruit. And he was producing fruit, but for the wrong side, mm-hmm. which we're going to find out. Now we go to chapter 26 of Acts. We're always going to be in the New Testament on this. 26, 9 through 16. So he's telling his story. And this is kind of at the end of his mission in the book of Acts, getting close to it. But you're going to have a lot of insight that the other ones don't tell you. Okay, so Eli, you want to read 9 through 13.
Okay. I therefore imagined to myself that against the name of Yehoshua the Nazarene, it was needful many hostile things to bring about, which also I did in Jerusalem. Yea, and many of the saints, I myself in prisons shut up, the authority from the high priest having received, and when they were to be put to the death. Okay, I couldn't read this. I brought against them my vote.
So even that, we'll stop there. Now, he was, when they were being put to death, he was voting on it. And so you're like, wow. Okay, now it goes 11.
And throughout all the synagogues, oftentimes punishing them, I would fain have compelled them to defame, and being extensively maddened against them, I went on to pursue them as far as even the outlying cities. Among which things, being on a journey unto Damascus with the authority and commission of the high priests, at midday on the road, I saw, O King, from heaven, above the splendor of the sun, shining around me a light, and around them who were with me were journeying. Keep reading?
I'll do. Okay. And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying in the Hebrew language, and this is important, as get our listeners to, Hebrew is the foundation of the word of Yahweh, not Greek and not English and not Aramaic. Hebrew it is. And so whenever somebody's discussing a term, like the word hell or the word soul or the word death or anything else, we have to ask, what Hebrew word are you referring to? And then we must be able to look up what that actual word actually means in Hebrew. And if they don't have a Hebrew word, like the word hell, there is no Hebrew word for hell, then what are you talking about it for? So you have 4,000 years of Moses and everybody else, and so it just stops that conversation. And if you say soul, when you say what the Hebrew word, that would be what? Anybody?
Suke.
No, that's Greek.
Nefesh.
Nefesh. And we find out the first use is Genesis 1:20, which is animals. Animals are called living nefesh. Nefesh. Well, then that doesn't go into our image at all. And so that's right. We get rid of this doctrine of these wrong teachings that actually had captivated Saul, because he was religious and he was doing what the Pharisaical law was telling him to do, but he was not doing what the word of Yahweh was saying he was doing. And so he had more garbage in than truth in, and it overrode him. But back to that, in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why me art thou persecuting? And so when somebody is coming against you because you're speaking about Christ, who are they coming against?
Christ.
Yeah, and Yahweh. It's hard for thee against goats to be kicking. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yahushua, whom thou art persecuting. And so also, Yahushua is talking to Saul in Hebrew, so I would imagine all the revelation for the church epistles were in Hebrew. Were given to him, and then he would have written them in Greek, or and maybe wrote them in Hebrew originally. But rising and standing upon thy feet, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee an attendant and a witness, both of the things as to which thou hast seen me, and of those as to which I will appear unto thee. Rescuing thee from among the people and from among the nations unto whom I am sending thee to open their eyes. Isn't that good? That's what our job is, to open people's eyes. That they may turn, and that's what Wendy did to her brother. To turn from darkness unto light and from the authority of Satan unto Yahweh. That's what she just did. That they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them who have been made holy by the faith respecting me. So that tells you what's going on. And we go to Matthew 13, which is on page 14. So here's this experience. He got introduced to Christ. And actually, I bet you, since he was a Jerusalem person, I bet you he was there at the crucifixion of Christ. Because he had to be, every male had to be at Jerusalem.
That's Passover.
Yeah, that's Passover. And so it never says that, but I would assume that would have to be right. Now we're going to learn about a parable about what goes on in our religious society, and that's called the wheat and the darnel. And so Esther, can you read this? 24 through 30.
What chapter?
13.
I'm sorry. Yeah, chapter 13, 24 through 30. That word is darnel. Go ahead.
Another parable. Put he before them, saying, the kingdom of heavens hath become like a man sowing good seed in his field. And while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed over darlin and among the wheat, and away he went.
Now that's what I'm going to stop you there. What were the men doing? Sleeping. And so I think there's a very significance that we cannot let our guard down. Because what happens while we're sleeping, and that's what's happening in the United States, many times voters slept, darnels got put in. We're going to see what happened. Okay, verse 26.
And when the blade sat up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the darnel also. And the servants of the householder came near and said to him, sir, was it not good seed thou didst sow in thy field? Whence then hath it darnel? And he said to them, an enemy hath done this. And they say unto him, wilt thou then that we go and collect it? And he saith, nay, lest at any time While collecting the dollars, ye uproot along with it the reed. Suffer both to grow together until the harvest, and the harvest time I will Darnell will say the reapers, collect these first of the Darnell and bind into bundles with a view to the burning it up. But the wheat be gathered into my barn.
So, this is another lesson we need to know, that there's Darnells in our midst. And good point too, many times Yahweh is going to allow them to stay there. Because I think if they pulled them out, they might lose a lot of followers who are really righteous, deceived people. So you have people in seminaries and other places like that who are actually Darnells in the Christian church. And the same way we got that, we actually have in the United States, which is a representative republic, and we actually have communists here, and their objective is to act like, you know, the Republicans, but their objective is to destroy and bring in communism under counterfeit. Now we go to Acts 15, page 135. So Paul's time and our time, all times are like that. We're going to see some of these Darnells, or possibly Darnells. So Isaiah, I want you to read 15, verse 1.
And certain persons coming down the Judah began to teach the brethren, except ye the circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, ye cannot be saved.
Okay, and then verse 4 and 5.
And having arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the assembly and the apostles and the elders, and they recounted all things Yahweh had done with them. But there had stood forth some of those who from the sent of Pharisees had believed, saying, it is needful to be circumcising them, also to charge them to be keeping the law of Moses.
Okay, so that is what with Saul is dealing with. And so you have Pharisaical people saying you must be circumcised, which is the Mosaic law, and you must obey the Mosaic law, which is the feast days and everything else. Those are inserted, and they're confronting that in chapter 15. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 11, so we're still on the Apostle Paul, page 188. In verse 3, I'm going to read 3 to 4, and this is our context. For I fear lest by any means, as the serpent completely deceived Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the singleness and the chasteness which are due unto the Christ. One thing about a Darnell, when it's young, when it's early, it looks just like wheat. It's a counterfeit wheat. But when you pull open the grain is black and it's bitter. And so actually, if you try to harvest it with the wheat, you end up ruining your wheat. But it looks just like wheat. And that's how counterfeit works. And they come right to church. They're right in your church. They could be deacons in your church. And actually, we know of BTK, which was a mass serial killer.
It's a deacon.
Was a deacon in a church. And we know that George Tiller, who was the number one third trimester abortion, was killed in a Lutheran church. You know, so it's great cover. And whether they even know they're even in there doesn't make any difference. They're there. And we have to realize that too. And not look at the garment, and that, but we have Ruach, or Holy Spirit. It's called discerning the spirits. Now first we can see what they're teaching or what they're talking, and then also we can be able to, Yahweh can say, this person's got a demon or whatever. Now we go to verse 13.
Did you want 4?
I didn't read 4, did you? Let's go back to 4. For if indeed he that cometh is proclaiming another Jesus, which we have today, we've all been warned about this, you know, 2,000 years ago. We have a Jesus, we have God the Son. And we actually have another Jesus where he was the creator in Genesis 1:1. And there's really no Yahweh, there's just Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if you look at especially the new culture, there's no singing to God the Father, it's just singing to Jesus. So we have another Jesus, and he has been exalted over his Father, whom we have not proclaimed, or a different spirit, we have God the Holy Spirit. which you are receiving, which you had not received, or a different glad message, and we have that, that you're going to heaven, and that there's hell, and which you have never welcomed. You are being, you are well-bearing. Here's the doctrines. Now, who are given these doctrines? The Darnells. And so in verse 13, for such as these are what, Melania? For such as these are?
False apostles.
Deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves as apostles of Christ. Isaiah, read 14 and 15.
And no marvel, for Satan himself doth transfigure himself into a messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, if his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Well, that just tells you all, and that's the Darnells, and this is the people we're working with, but also Saul's working in and amongst. We'll keep proceeding in verse 22. And so here is the documentation. Who is Saul? He's a Hebrew, are they? I also. Israelites, are they? I also. Now, we're talking about the false apostles, or Hebrews. The false apostles are Israelites. And so, did they go to the seminary? So I did. Did they, you know, are they have a doctorate degree? So do I have. You know, it's the same situation. Seed of Abraham, are they? I also. Ministers of Christ, are they? As one deranged, I am talking. I above measure. Now look at this resume. In toils, super abundantly. Those are great words. Not just abundantly. Super abundantly. In prisons, super abundantly. In stripes, to excess. In deaths, often. From Jews, 5 times 40, save one have I received. So he had stripes. And if, now it's for the kids. He got 5 times. He got beat 40 times, but not 40 times. Actually, 39 times. Because if they did went over 40, they got beat. And so nobody went to the 40 time. Okay. So what is 5 times 40?
200.
Well, I'm talking to the kids.
200. Go
ahead. How much?
200.
Minus one on each one. It'd be what? How many stripes did he have on his back?
195.
So he had 195 lashes on his back. Now think of what that back, you know, how, what his back looked like.
You get to remember the passion of the Christ.
195 stripes. And that's, you know, a lot of times it could be a cat of nine tails, and so on one blow, it could be 8 stripes hitting you all at once.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, you know,
cat of nine stripes.
So when people say, this is Apostle Bob or Apostle John, you have to say, let me see your stripes. Because usually they're exalted. They're on the highest seat, or Prophet Bob, or anything. They're in the highest chairs. Wait a minute, I thought the apostles were the low, you know, they were taking the heat on everything. They're the ones put in jail. They're the ones who are almost being put to death and everything else. No. I don't think you guys are the apostles. And if you have to tell yourself that you're an apostle, you're not.
Yeah.
You know. 25. Thrice have I been beaten with rods. Once have I been stoned. Thrice have I been shipwrecked. We only know of one case when he was shipwrecked. Mm-hmm. So 2 other times he was shipwrecked. A day and a night in the deep have I spent. So he was on a probably board of the ship. You know, floating in the ocean for probably maybe 24 hours, a day and a night, in the ocean, and journeys oft, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own race, in perils from Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the desert, in perils by the sea, in perils among false brethren, in toil and hardship, in watching oft, in hunger and thirst, in fasting oft, in cold and nakedness. And apart from the things without, my daily care, my anxiety for all the assemblies. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is caused to stumble, and I am not burning? If to boast is needful, in the things that concern my weakness will I boast. That is the resume of an apostle. You know, we saw Peter almost got killed. We saw James got killed. So apostles are not saying a social doctrine. that everybody agrees with, very simply. You're not on the most wanted list. It's the people who do not, who have to flee just to live. Now we go to Acts chapter 9.
Right, seminary calls you not Christians if you're an apostle.
Yeah.
They're not even Christians.
Well, yeah, and actually they'll say there are no apostles and there's no prophets either. And so that many seminaries today automatically, and, but there are pastors because they're, that's who they're putting out their seminaries.
They only train pastors.
Yeah, no, so not apostles.
No, they're no school for apostleship.
Yeah, that's right. That went out with the apostles. 9:18. So this is telling you a little bit about his conversion again. And straightway, because he went right into it, so he got struck on the road to Damascus. He got a come to Jesus moment. That's what they mean. Where he got blinded. Let's just think about this for a while. Man, am I in trouble? I mean, this is bad stuff. The boss has just showed up. And he is not happy with me because I can't see. I'm sorry. He's saying, reflecting all the sins that he committed. The people he saw die, the women and men who were put in prison. I mean, all this stuff now is, wow. And that's what we've got to be able to talk to people before they ever get to that point. If we're silent, they could go down that same path, and then it's regret, 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 regret. And so we have to tell, which I did to the Democrats, you know, all of our House and representatives in the state of Kansas, say you're a Christian and you're a member of the Democratic Party, that's a lie, because the Democratic Party platform breaks 5 of the 10 commandments. And so I sent that all to them and just laid it out. And you are like a dog going back to his vomit. It would have been better that you never became a Christian than to become a Christian and you start doing abortion and sodomy and stealing from the rich and bearing false witness, you get in with that junk. You know, Yahweh warns you. It would be better if you never even began in this way, because woe to you. It's going to happen to you. Your family's at stake. Everything else is at stake. So we have to speak that truth, and now I am not guilty because I let them all know. Go think about that, guys, for a while.
You're not invited to many cocktail parties.
No, but it is the truth. And no, and you don't have pastors. Pastors won't make a stand. Pastors won't even tell you who they voted for. And that is the social gospel, because they're afraid they're going to lose people from their church. The only reason I can think is for their selfish self-interest. Their selfish self-interest. And to say you're a shepherd, absolutely not. Don't tell me you're a shepherd.
You're a wolf in sheep's clothing.
You're a sheep. And sometimes you could be a wolf in sheep, but sometimes you're just a sheep falling sheep. And you're being enriched by the flock is what you're being. Huh. 18. And straightway, there fell from him, from his eyes, as it were scales. He recovered sight also, and arising was immersed and receiving food, gained strength. Yeah, he didn't eat food or drink water. You know, not eating food for 3 days I could do. Not drinking water for 3 days, that would really bother me. And he came to be with disciples who were in Damascus certain days, and straightway in the synagogue he began proclaiming Yahushua, that this is God the Son.
No.
What's it say? There's something different here. And they, you know, if somebody says the Trinity, you say, just read the book of Acts. And see if you ever seen any Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, or God the Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Just see if you're thinking in that. It's telling you all about Christ, who he is. That's all you got to do. 21, and all who were hearing were astonished, began to say, is not this he who destroyed in Jerusalem him that invoked his name, and here for this purpose had come to order that he might lead them bound unto the high priest? But Saul was a more gaining power, and was confounding the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, showing by comparison that this is the Messiah. Wow, everybody should be plotting. You know, because this is an apostle. Let's put him on the top chair. You know, he's going to get this up. Well, now, when a considerable number of days were being fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to love him.
No.
What's it say, Eli?
23.
three.
Kill him.
Yeah, okay. Aha! Sleeping at the wheel, huh? To kill him. Remember, pop quiz is all the whole time. But their plot was made known unto Saul, and they were even narrowly watching the gates both day and night that they might kill him. Oh. And but the disciples, taking him by night through the wall, let him down, lowering him in a basket. We know, we're going to hear about some of that stuff. That's the beginning of his ministry. Now where did he go? And so now we go to Galatians 1, 13, which is page 129. Have you ever had to get out of town at night? Galatians 1, 29.
I like that.
189.
What? 113?
Yeah, Galatians 1.
13.
13, we're going through the 20. And he's telling his story again. For ye have heard as to my own manner of life at one time in Judaism, how that exceedingly, I love these adjectives.
Yes.
You know, exceedingly, no, that'd be an adverb. Exceedingly was I prosecuting the assembly of Yahweh and laid in it ways, persecuting, and was making advancement in Judaism. Well, hey, that's today. So if you go against the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons and these other people, you'll be advanced because they can't be Christians, can they? All right. Well, I mean, it really comes down to it. I just get shocked. I will say one time I was with the Way Ministry and people, the Way Ministry?
You devil.
That's the devil land. Yeah. And it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
And always the opposite. And so Satan called Jesus Beelzebub. And he says, you're drunkens and gluttons and everything else on there. So always remember, if you're called Beelzebub, I mean, if you're not called Beelzebub, you're just not doing it right. Instead of saying, what a saint, what a holy person.
The Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah, yeah. And let me, 14, I'm making an advancement in Judaism by crushing Yahweh word above many contemporaries in my nation, being surpassingly zealous of my parental instruction.
Eternal.
That is the problem. It wasn't the word of Yahweh, it was parental instructions. The doctrines and deacons of man. But when Yahweh, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his favor, was well pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might announce the glad message regarding him among the nations, straightway I conferred not with flesh and blood. So here's his journey. He gets, you know, we know he's in Damascus teaching, and now he's going to go someplace. You know, he's got to get out of town. They're trying to kill him. Neither went I up to Jerusalem unto them who before me were apostles, but I went away into Arabia and again returned unto Damascus. He might have done a 40-day journey or fast like Elijah, Yahushua, Moses. Then after 3 years went I up unto Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and tarry with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the brother of the Lord. Now as touching the things which I am writing to you, lo, before Yahweh, I am not guilty of falsehood. So we're gonna come back to this. And then it goes into you might just keep your finger here, Acts 22:17. What did he do in Jerusalem when he got there? So it's going to tell us in Acts 22.
22 what verse?
Verse 17 to 21. This is 3 years later he comes in, remember. And Isaiah, you want to read verses, where am I? Oh, Acts 17 to 21. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now when he came to Jerusalem, is within glad you welcomed us.
No, okay. I say 22, verse 17. Chapter 22, verse 17.
Oh, okay.
And it came to pass.
Oh, I don't know.
You have it.
Page
143. And when it came to pass, when I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in a temple, and I came to be the chance.
In a trance.
Chance, and I saw him sent unto me. Hast thee and go forth speedily out of Jerusalem as much as they will not accept my witness concerning me. And I said, Lord, they themselves will know that I was imprisoning and beating in every synagogue them who believing on thee. And when the blood of
Stephen,
thy witness was being shed, even myself was standing by and approving and girding the
guardian,
the
mantles
of them who were slain him. And he said unto me, we take the journey, because I unto nations afar off will send thee.
Okay, now we go back to Galatians. That's what he did on the 3 years. The religious community didn't want him.
Tried to kill him.
You know what would happen if Martin Luther tried to go to Rome?
They would have killed him.
They would have killed him. And so this is also, and for, this is another subject, but this is why also Christ's ministry, Yahushua's ministry, had to be 6 months or less, because he only went to Jerusalem once. Because when he went there, what did they do to him?
They killed him.
Well, if he went there, and they're supposed to go 3 times a year, which is the feast days, then that would have been 9 times. He would have been killed 9 times. No, he's only killed once, but that's how bad Jerusalem was. And that's supposed to be the holy capital. Yeah. This is supposed to be the whole, this is where Yahweh's supposed to be. And the, over the Ark of the Covenant, behind the Holy of Holies veil. And I was, who was back behind there? It wasn't Yahweh. It was Satan. and they're the ones, it wasn't the Gentiles, it wasn't Pilate who wanted to kill him. It was the religion.
Yeah.
Religious that wanted to kill him. Now we go back to Galatians, verse 11. Oh, not 11.
3:11.
Can Rachel read?
Yeah, 21. Yeah, we're going to do this. 21 to chapter 2:10, if you can. Now this is the rest of the story. Galatians 1:21 through chapter 2, verse 10. If you get too tired, let somebody else pick up.
After that, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the assemblies of Judea, which were in Christ. Only they were hearing. He that was persecuting us formerly, now is announcing the glad message of the faith which he formerly laid waste. And they were glorifying God in me. After that, 14 years later, I again went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas.
How many years are we gone now?
17
years. Okay, keep going. Remember that.
Taking with me Titus also. And I went up by revelation and laid before them the glad message which I proclaim among the nations. Privately, however, to them of repute, lest by any means in vain I should be running or had run. And not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But this was because of the false brethren secretly introduced, who indeed came in secretly to spy out our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage.
This is 17 years later
yeah.
that the secret was revealed. I mean, and so it's still there. It's still happening. Go ahead. And actually, it's more than... They believe that Paul, after Yahushua died, it was 8 years later when Paul believed. So we're talking about 25 years.
After the death?
Yeah, after the death of Christ. So now read verse 5, go on to 10.
Unto whom not even for an hour gave we place by the required submission, in order that the truth of the glad message might still abide with you. Moreover, from them who were reputed to be something, whatsoever at one time they were, maketh no difference to me. God accepteth not a man's person. Unto me, in fact, they who were of repute added nothing further. But on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the glad message to the uncircumcision, even as Peter with that to the circumcision, for he that energized in Peter into an apostleship to the circumcision, energized also in me for the nations. And when they perceived the favor which had been given unto me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave the right hand of fellowship unto me and Barnabas, in order that we should go unto the nations, and they unto the circumcision. Only that we should remember the destitute, as to which I had given diligence this very thing to do.
Okay, now we're not going to go here, but if a person wants to proceed that, when he, this is the second trip to Jerusalem, the first time was 3 years, This is 14 years later, so it's been 17. Bollinger thinks it's 14 altogether. You know, I don't quite see that. And that's Acts 15, you know, 1 through 5. We're not going to go there. And that's when they're discussing the thing about circumcision. They say, you must be circumcised. So we've already been there once. And they find out with Peter and everybody else, said, no, we can't have the Gentiles go under the Mosaic law. Remember, abstain from fornication, don't drink blood, and you're good. Okay, so that was what happened when he went there.
You mean don't eat animals with blood, right?
Yeah, or whatever it was. Yeah, there's like three or four things they're saying. Just do these things, and you're good. You don't have to be circumcised. You know, the feast days don't have to be celebrated. And this is very important, too. This was the second time Paul, in 17 years, went to Jerusalem. Well, a male was supposed to go to Jerusalem three times a year. The feast day. So obviously he was not under the Mosaic law anymore, was he?
No.
Because over 17 years he would have been there all the time. But we're going to see that keeps drawing him back. You know, with all of us, the religious, you know, if a person was raised a Catholic and then all of a sudden they find out the Catholic was wrong, but they really liked the bells and the service and the incense, it just was a drawing to come back to that feeling. Mm-hmm. And Paul ends up going back there and gets imprisoned.
Yeah.
You know, but we're not discussing that, but that longing for that religious connection of your heritage and your family heritage mm-hmm. is always pulling us back to traditions and doctrines of men. And same way with them, and even so with Peter. Now we're going to learn about something. Remember, it's been 25 years, verse 11, but when Cephas came unto Antioch, so here's Jerusalem, Antioch is north.
And Cephas is Peter.
Yes, Peter. Now Cephas is Peter. And when Cephas came unto Antioch to the face, even him I resisted. Wow. Because he stood condemned. He's going to rebuke Peter. This is 25 years later after Christ died. What is Peter doing?
Baptizing.
That you're making him, that you're not doing what Christ wants you to do. So it can happen to, of all people, the top apostle.
Yeah.
So it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. So never let somebody, Kenneth Copeland or Joyce Myers or Kenneth Hagin, the Pope, you know, anybody, exalt himself and say that you're above sin. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. But before that certain came from James, with them of the nations used he to eat. And so Peter was eating with the Gentiles, or the non-Hebrews who were believers. But according to the Jews, you couldn't do that, according to the Mosaic law. Whereas when they came, he used to withdraw and keep himself separate. So when who came? Well, when the Jews came to Antioch,
the religious
he people. Pulled back from Jerusalem to not eat with them.
Fear.
And that means, okay, maybe people will speak in tongues and interpret, but then when your church members come, or you're going to be silent from there on. I'm not going to speak in tongues. I'm not going to interpret.
You don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, ruffle anything. And so you're going right back into it. Verse 14. But when I saw that they were not walking with straightforwardness as regarding the truth of the glad message, I said unto Cephas before all. Now, who was having Paul write this stuff?
Yahweh.
Through Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's who this is written to. This is a public reproof and a lesson for us to learn. If thou, although a Jew like them of the nations and not like the Jews does eat, how dost thou compel them of the nations to live like Jews? We by nature Jews and not sinners from among the nations, knowing, however, that a man is not declared righteous by the works of the law, nor at all saved through faith in Christ Yahushua. Even we on Christ Yahushua believed that we might be declared righteous by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be declared righteous. So Peter fell in this particular area to the side, and he recuperated from it. He took the reproof. Mm-hmm. But we have to realize nobody's above it. Now we go to... Well, we don't have to do that, but Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, and he starts talking about Paul. And he says, listen to Paul, I know this stuff is hard to understand, but that's the word of Yahweh. Don't wrestle with it, because the people who wrestle with it are going to condemn themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's 2 Peter 3:15 through 16. We can go to Acts 19, verse 8. Now, this is great. So here's Peter. They're in Ephesus. We all know about the book of Ephesians. How long do these guys last? And entering into the synagogue, he was speaking boldly, and this is Paul, or Saul, Paul, speaking boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the kingdom. And every time you say the word kingdom is basileia, which actually means reign or rule. It's not a place. So the kingdom of God is not a place, or the kingdom of heaven is not a place. It's the authority or the rulership of God. So you can say, and Young's will translate kingdom or basileia as reign. Persuading concerning the reign of God or the ruling of God. And so we're supposed to seek ye first the rule of God and His righteousness.
For the reign.
Yeah, the reign of God and His right, not the kingdom. Well, how do I seek the kingdom of God? Where is it? And where is it? Someplace floating someplace, and that's where people got mixed up about heaven. So much as the kingdom of heaven. No, it's the reign of heaven, and the reign of heaven has to be the reign of Yahweh, the ruling of Yahweh. But that's where he's teaching in verse 9. But when some were hardening themselves and refusing to persuade, speaking evil of the way before the throne. You know that happens?
Yeah.
People don't like when you speak the truth. They're going to want to kill you sometimes. Withdrawing from them, he separated the disciples day by day, reasoning in the school of Tyrannus. And this took place for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks.
Wow.
That includes Ephesus. You know, that's Turkey. Asia Minor is really it is.
It's really, all, you know that.
That's Constantinople, but now it's Istanbul. Turkey. So here it all is. It's Turkey. Now look what happens. We'll go to 2 Timothy 1:15, page 218. Let's see, 1:15. Here's the Timothy. Okay, Elijah, this is verse 15.
Okay.
Thou knowest this, that all they who are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes.
Very good, good in your phonics. All Asia turned from him by the end of his ministry.
Yeah,
that's the book of Ephesus. That's the church of Ephesus. A turn from.
Jeez.
So you want to be frustrated? Now look at chapter 4, verse 5 and 8, and we'll close out. So here is the Apostle Paul, or Saul, closing out his ministry. But thou be sober in all things. Suffer. You know, he's talking to Timothy. Suffer hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, thy ministry completely fulfilled. For I already am being poured out as a drink offering, and the season of my release is at hand. The noble contest have I contested, the race have I finished, the faith have I kept. Henceforth lieth thy for me, the crown of righteousness which the Lord will render unto me in that day, that righteous judge, yet not alone unto me, but unto all them also who have loved his first shining.
Wow.
So did Paul have a mega church?
No.
No, he did not. He did at one time. but when he keeps speaking the truth, somebody else came along with a better message that the mega church liked, and so they just changed churches, which happens all the time. You can see that. So we'll end right there.